Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode is a live show recorded at the Wonderland Ballroom in Washington, D.C. I want to timestamp it for you. It was recorded last week, Friday, the Friday before the Saturday Night Live starring Donald Trump. And that is sort of not important, doesn't really matter, but there's a cover of a song, and I just want to point out that Baby Bribery did something before that television show aired. So that's number one. Number two is plugs. Saturday, November 14th, 8x8 returns to the Black Cat in Washington, D.C. That's our variety show. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's Jack on Fire's final show, so that's a very good reason to come. The other show that we really care about is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, Wednesday, November 25th, at The Hideout in Chicago, Illinois, is the six-year anniversary. So for You, Me, Them, Everybody Live, if you can, please, please, please come to that. So without further ado, here's You, Me, Them, Everybody Live at the Wonderland Ballroom.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Give it up for yourselves for entering the world. You decided to leave your house. That's an accomplishment in and of itself. I have a very long monologue planned, but since most of you have no idea who I am or why you're here, I won't talk about that. Instead, I'll talk about my 10 years bartending. I bartended for a long time at a lovely establishment called the Hungry Brain in Chicago, Illinois. Now, the Hungry Brain was known for two things, jazz and cheap drinks. Now, I hate jazz. Jazz is the absolute worst form of music, but that guy that gave me the finger, you're going to be on board. You're going to love this. Me and you, buddy, this is going to be the best show I've ever done. I have a good feeling about this. I've been watching a lot of WrestleMania stuff. I'm going to cut that part out because no one cares. Okay, so these jazz heads, all males, 100% males. So let's establish that. And the other thing is cheap drinks. So they would drink a bottle of whiskey a night, and it was lovely. I grew to love jazz because of this. See, the guy that gave me the finger, now we're on the same page. I grew to love jazz because of it. I was wrong. I was a young, dumb man. I learned a lot of things in that bar. I learned that I was a very young, dumb man about a lot of things. One of the things I was not a young, dumb man about was cocaine. Don't do cocaine with a bunch of jazz heads at 3 a.m. Here's why. Because it goes until 6 a.m. Because then the sun is up and you're just hanging out with people and you're not even doing cocaine. You're taking the bus home and you're still really drunk, but you're not coke high. So it's just, you just feel this immense shame and failure. I had that for about 8 of those 10 years. I don't know if you guys know this, don't realize this, but musicians love drugs. And here's a good thing about that. They don't like to say, I'm going to go to the bathroom and do cocaine. It's your job to find little baggies of cocaine and or full baggies of cocaine that they forgot because they had already done an entire baggie of cocaine. And now you have this baggie of cocaine and you're on the bus at 6 a.m. Why is this in my reality? Because I was a dumb man. You should not bartend at a place that has amazing jazz. No offense. Jazz is a great art form. I get it completely. If I didn't hang out with those cokehead jazz heads, I would be dead. Here's why. There was a jazz show at the Hungry Brain, and it was a Sunday night, and it ended around 11:30. By 12, there was no one in the bar. I was closing up, and a good friend came in the bar. And when I say a good friend, I mean someone that tipped me heavily consistently. So he came into the bar, and I was going to just close up, because why stay open for one man? And then I realized, oh, he's a cokehead. He'll spend at least $50 over the next 2 hours. And he did, and it was the best. I got home that night at 4 a.m. I was very upset with my quote-unquote friend. He's actually a real friend. I went to his father's house in Riverside, Illinois. What the fuck am I talking about? He's a good friend now. I completely negate everything I just said. He's a great guy. Because of his coke habit and my, like, wink, I don't know what you're doing in the bathroom for 10 minutes at a time at 3 a.m., 3:30 a.m., and 4 a.m. He's doing cocaine. I stayed in the bar with him. That night at 12:30, when I would have been waiting for my bus, a cop was murdered at that bus station. Right? It was a fan. Jazz, right? Jazz is the best. There was this one guy named Matt. Matt is arguably the greatest songwriter I've ever met. This is not a joke. He had a band called The Quitters. They headlined a club that's an equivalent of the 930 Club in Washington, D.C., but in Chicago it's called The Metro. They sold it out, and he quit that night because he's an asshole. And the name of the band is The Quitters. Anyways, he liked to come in the bar and start trouble. This is well after the smoking ban went into effect. Just like to just light up cigarettes. He would light up a cigarette, I would instantly grab and throw it in his drink. I never kicked him out because I was like, he's still a fun guy. Until one night he decided to just really grab every male in the bar's ass. So he did that. And after the 19th man he grabbed, the 20th man got very upset. And he called the cops. Now, Matt has two strikes against him, and Illinois is a three strikes, you're out state. Matt ran out the back. It was all locked up. It's winter in Chicago. Locked up. And then jumped over the fence. And the cops came in and was like, is there some guy? We don't really care. Just we have to. We're fucking Chicago cops. We really don't want to fucking be here. No one really gives a shit. We're not really going to arrest anybody. We just are doing due diligence. Did anybody grab somebody's ass? And we're like, we've never heard of anyone ever grabbing anyone's ass. They're like, fine, we're cops. Here's a shot. Goodbye. 2 minutes later, Matt's pounding on the door angrily. The cops are after me. They were not. No one gives a shit. I don't know if you know this. If you're a white man, you can get away with everything. He was a white guy. That night should have ended at 2:30. This happened at like 1:50. We were at the bar until 6 a.m. because Matt likes cocaine and sharing, everybody. Guess what? Not a jazz head. That's the point of the story. It doesn't matter what kind of music you like. It doesn't matter what race you are. But if you're a male that puts alcohol in your body, you love cocaine. And that's going to bring the world together. Guys, that's what this show is about. This is oral cocaine. Baby Bri Bri is going to play a song. Now, he's a musician. He's never done drugs in front of me, but he is wearing a turtleneck by choice indoors in November, and it's 70 degrees out. I'm not saying he likes cocaine. I'm just describing how he dresses.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Baby Bri Bri.
I'm Baby Bri Bri. I've never done drugs in my whole life. The song's called Tell Me You Love Me, Even If You Don't. Yesterday, I wanted to tell her it's a feeling that never goes away. But in that moment, felt like way too much to say. So I just said I'm fine, I'm totally okay. And I know that honesty is supposed to be the greatest policy. And I know that telling lies might not seem like the best advice. But I just need something that I can use to get me through. And what's the worst of living I can do? Yeah, we're gonna hear what we wanna hear anyways. It doesn't really matter what you say. Yeah, we're gonna hear what we wanna hear anyways. It doesn't really matter what you say.
There are two people on stage with me. By the way, really quick, Norm, did you notice that everyone was very quiet when he performed because he's a very good artist and he's able to do that with his art?
Oh.
They were great. They were listening attentively, and I thank them for their kindness. Me and you, buddy. Same page. Hell yeah.
I made my threats before I went on stage.
No, you don't need to. You look like the least threatening man. Let's paint a picture for him at home. It's imagine JTT, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, grown up, the end. That's a compliment. That's a compliment to Baby Bri-Bri. He looks like JTT. He's on the cover of Sassy Mag in 2018. Keep an eye out, folks. That's the future. Is Sassy still in print?
I don't even know what Sassy is.
The one woman on stage doesn't know what Sassy is. Guys, we're challenging gender norms. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Allison Lane, everybody.
Hi. Hi.
Allison is the co-host this evening. She's only the co-host because, like most children that bring the ball, I brought all the stuff, so it's my show and you're the co-host. But if you had all the stuff, you'd be the host. You're more talented than me. I'm setting you up. Relax.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're great. I just happened to make the emails. Anyways, you're the co-host. We're going to talk about things. I didn't talk about anything I had initially planned to, and that's okay. That's completely fine. But I did want to talk to you about stuff. You're hungover.
I am. Oh, my God, it's so bad.
Do you want to reveal your age?
My age?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes, I'm 29. Thank you.
Okay.
Black don't crack. Thank
you're
you.
You're 29.
Yes.
How often are you hungover?
Not often. I don't know what happened. I'm going to blame this on daylight savings time.
Nope.
Well, can't take it back. I already did it. So blaming this one on daylight savings time.
Okay, so what did you do last night or yesterday?
Chad,
the entire
know.
Day. You do know. You talked.
I do know. I did the things. Like, I went out. I had the whiskeys and then champagne. Whiskey should not be chased with champagne or vice versa.
So, you know, I would.
At 29.
I would beg to differ. My boss. My boss poured me a drink once, and it was amazing. It's champagne-ishin, a mixture of Jameson and champagne.
How drunk were you
fucking
already?
Oh, it's horrible. It was amazing. Instant hangover. Totally worth it.
Yeah. But our lovely bartender has actually been taking care of me for the past hour.
Thank you so much.
So please take care of her for taking care of me.
Now, you're in tune with other bartenders because you yourself work in the industry.
I do. That's probably why I have a hangover.
Yes. I didn't really get hangovers when I worked in the industry.
You aren't doing that anymore.
I definitely get hungover now.
Yeah.
But no, back in the day, the difference between you and me is, one, I'm like, I feel like I'm 100 pounds heavier than you.
That's fair.
And and two, when I would get off of work at like 2:30, 3 a.m., I would get a burrito, which was a day's worth of calories, and I would consume that around 3:30 a.m.
No, I have like really great triceps right now, so
that's
like I can't.
Do you want to reveal your workout regime?
Yeah, I work out a lot. I wake up and eat eggs. Okay, so my workout regime is I wake up, I go to Whole Foods, I eat egg salads, and then I do like a bunch of squats and obviously triceps.
Now, what you just described just sounds like gas to me. It sounds like you're
farting
just everywhere. Farting.
I just crop dust the gym every day. Like, that is like, I pay for this gym membership. I should be able to do whatever I want at the gym.
I would.
With my
ass. Is it okay to objectify you somewhat?
Go for it. Party.
For the listener at home, this is a very attractive, young, in-shape woman here. This is not what you imagine crop dusting and egg salads at Whole Foods in your mind's eye. This is an attractive woman. Facebook exists. Figure it out. Here's the thing.
Crop dusting's fun. That's fair. It is.
That's
it
the
really
tagline
is.
For the show. Now, you have to be out most nights of the week because of your job.
Yeah.
How often do you ever actually want to go out?
Never.
Then why do you do it?
I don't know.
That's why
I need attention.
Is that it?
Yeah, actually it is.
Really?
I have half of my head shaved, so I clearly need people to look at me.
Yes, that's true. But you also have a tattoo that essentially says go away.
Yeah, it does. Well, here's the thing. As a woman, sometimes men like to come up to you and like, oh, you have the things going on. Let me touch you. You didn't ask for it. That's fine. So part of the reason why this tattoo has become really fun, they're like, oh, my God, it says happy birthday. That's fun. What's it say underneath? Go fuck yourself. Don't touch me.
I have never.
Is that fair? Like, I mean, has anybody else like ever experienced that? Like, you're just like, you know what? I want a subtle way just to let people know. I want to be out. I want to enjoy myself.
Seems like
but
the
also,
opposite of subtle.
Huh?
Go fuck yourself.
Wait, it is subtle. It's upside down. You can't really read it. Like, I can. It's like, you know, like, I'm laying in bed. I'm like, oh, good morning. Go fuck yourself.
See, I think this is a very dangerous situation. Now,
I like how I'm sitting so far away from you.
I don't know why you chose to sit there.
Totally
no, I'm going to just like sit
now,
in the
last
back.
Last night you were drinking.
Yes.
What time do you think you were drunk?
I don't know, man. Like, I mean, I was mad. I'm telling you, daylight savings time is like ruining my life. I blame it on the time of year.
Okay, daylight savings kicked in 6 days ago.
Yeah, fuck that.
Like, you should be over it by Wednesday.
I should have been. But if you think about it, daylight savings time was after, what, like Halloween?
Yes.
Which was a disaster.
Why was Halloween a disaster?
Then you have an extra hour to be drunk, and then I'm like, oh, I can't catch up on my sleep and get my life together. No, I'm just going to keep doing the things.
Did you go out on Halloween?
Yep.
What'd you do?
I got drunk.
Where? Wait, at work? Were you working?
No, but I went to a bar, and I found the saddest person there, and I made out with him. So if you're sad, I'm into it. Hey.
Once again, for the listener at home, this is an attractive woman. This is not what you think of when
it's
you
like,
think.
Woo! It's like putting. I should get another drink.
Why don't you admit? Why don't? When I was bartending.
Yeah.
No one would ever admit when they're drunk.
Oh yeah.
No one ever admits when they're high. Why? It's the most fun thing to do when you're out and they're like, are you drunk? But I'm really drunk. This is the best. I'm having a lot of fun.
I never said I didn't admit it.
Yeah, I know. So you do admit it.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't our friends admit it? It's the funnest thing to do.
I mean, because like at some point it's juvenile. Like that's like, you know, those people that are like, oh my God, I went out last night and I had 4 shots of Jameson. And then I moved over to fucking,
No, but you're
something
you're
else talking, grosser.
You're
I don't
talking
know.
About recapping the night.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in the moment.
Yeah, but why?
Because it's fun.
Because there's other shit to do. Like, make out with sad men.
That's the thing. That's the thing. How old was this dude? Did you ever figure it out?
I don't even know. I don't even know his name.
That's so cool.
Look, Tinder's going off right now, by the way.
For the people in the room and the listener at home, her phone died due to the volume of Tinder messages she received about an hour before the show. And we have no idea whose phone charger this is. This is just the kindness of strangers. She's currently charging her phone. That's the life she leads. She's a champion and a winner.
I know a guy, man.
That's cool.
I got friends in low places.
Baby Bri-Bri, how often are you intoxicated and or high?
Hey.
Well, as I mentioned, I don't do drugs or drink or anything like that. I keep it wholesome all the time. Just kidding. I'm high all the time. I'm high right now.
Now, what time did you get high?
Yay!
About 2 hours ago.
So, like, right before you got in your car?
Trick question.
No, I don't care. I don't care.
No. I just talked about a cop that was murdered.
I think we're on the same page. Don't worry.
It was a social scenario. It was, a bunch of friends having a good time together, and then we parted ways. I went and ran an errand and then came here.
What was your errand?
We just made some Baby Bri-Bri crew neck sweaters that will
Ooh.
Be available.
Are you serious?
Sunday.
You
They're
got
actually
high and
in
made
the
sweaters?
Trunk. They're in the trunk. What?
You got high and made sweaters?
I didn't make them. I paid somebody in weeks past to make them for me. I had to do was pick them up. It was a very straightforward thing.
Just like a drug deal.
It was exactly like a drug deal. I even put the flashers on in the car, parked in front of a fire hydrant, ran in.
Here's the thing.
Obstructing justice all over the place.
Here's the thing. I work in a job where I can interview bands, right? And
right.
I've been saying no to interviewing every band because, no offense, musicians in the room, most bands are fucking stupid and they have nothing interesting to say.
Sure.
Now,
Ooh.
You are a musician.
This is a lot of pressure.
No, it's
Don't
not.
Be
you're already great. You break the mold. You're a nice man who knows
Thank
how
you.
To make eye contact
Thank
and
you.
Can form a thought. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is about other bands that like aren't as just decent talkers? I realized that I couldn't form a sentence right there, and I realized that's funny.
That's karma.
But you're good. Why aren't they good? Answer for every band ever. Go.
I don't know. I always found that, like, when I would... I was the type of nerd that would go to, like, watch an author talk about their book at a bookstore when I was in high school. You know, had lots of friends. I remember being very disappointed on a regular basis when I would go see a favorite author, a favorite writer, and they just had no ability to speak on stage. And the only thought is, well... Their form of communication is the written word, not the spoken word. So I'm going to extend that that grace out to musicians and say maybe they're just better at communicating with their guitars, you know?
But that's like boring and no one cares. Like why?
That's a lie. It's probably because they're stoned or if they're jazz musicians.
But you're stoned and you're
coke.
Great. That's the thing.
I'm like post-stoned, you know? I'm starting to come out of it here on stage with a bunch of friends.
But you don't seem to take yourself too seriously. But you don't write like joke music.
No, well, that's a good. It's a good point. We, I'm in a band called The Apologists. Baby Briar and The Apologists, a real mouthful of a name. But we're fun. We wear uniforms. We have choreography and backup singers and dancers. It's a good time. But we always say it's silly, but it's not a joke. You know, it's not a fucking joke. We take it seriously. But being serious doesn't preclude the ability to have fun. You know. You could be fun and interesting and still serious, right?
What an eye-opening answer that no one's ever considered before.
This is like
before.
Inside the actor's studio. This is not... ask me something funny.
I don't have anything funny written down at all.
Okay. Are we going to just sit here?
No, I'm just looking. You know, what's your thoughts on Gamergate? That's one of my notes. Gamergate.
Gamergate. That, I don't...
What is that?
I have a Nintendo 64.
It's great.
So that's about as far as my gaming
so
knowledge goes.
So Gamergate is a bunch of male...
It's the trolls, right?
Asshole troll nerds asshole being trolls. Asshole trolls and threatening others. I should have definitely presented a complex topic that's forming lots of media in South by Southwest booking and just bring it up flippantly. That's a bad idea. Do I cut that from the show? I don't know. Here's the issue with tonight's show. I realized while I was doing the monologue, I still talk to all of those people, and they all listen to the show.
I know. You're
and you call them
out.
All out.
By their names.
Yeah. And their drug habits.
Yeah. So it's super easy to identify all of them. Do I cut that out? Fuck it. All right. They're in the show. Do either of you guys go to therapy?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
You don't anymore. Why not?
I don't have health insurance.
That's a good reason not to go. But
that's why I don't go anymore either.
Yeah.
It's actually because I'm on my parents' health insurance and I don't want to talk to them about. I need to see a therapist again.
I miss my parents' health insurance. You're
so
cute.
I know, it's tight. I got a couple more months. Thank you, Obama.
Do you have any songs?
This is depressing.
That's what I wanted to talk about. Do you have any songs about therapy?
I have. Every single song of mine is about being depressed, so it's kind of related.
What's your saddest lyrical song but happiest music? Have you played that yet?
No, not.
Could you play that now?
I'll play one that's been on my mind. If I had a therapist, I'd be talking to them.
Perfect. Set that up, and I'm going to talk to her for a quick second. I got a new therapist, and I have. Thank you so much, guys. It took a long time, and I didn't want to respond with an exclamation point for the first email I responded with because I don't want to set that precedent.
Why are you emailing your therapist?
Because she knows I'm on the web.
She knows the web?
She knows the web.
Oh,
no,
great.
Because phone calls are... I'm not a loser. I'm not on the phone. So she didn't want... But I didn't want to set the precedent where I have to answer every goddamn email with an exclamation point like I do at work. So I was like, if I'm going to be real with one person on the internet, let's try the therapist.
That's a good start.
I don't know. That was my big issue for the day. Guys, it's great being a 32-year-old straight white male that's married in Washington, D.C. I cannot recommend it enough. It's so great. I'm the Jimmy Fallon of Washington, D.C. He's going to play a song. Is that right? This is the saddest song.
It's not the saddest song.
This is the saddest song you've ever heard.
Oh, my God. I love sadness.
He's going to play Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. It's gonna
oh
be
my
great.
God!
You ready
Baby,
to do this?
Bribe,
yeah,
sadness.
This song's called Life. Am I right? And it's about realizing that you're never gonna figure life out. So you just have to figure out how to fucking deal with it.
This is my favorite pro-life song, ladies and gentlemen. Please put your hands together for Baby Bribe. Bri.
When am I gonna learn? When am I gonna learn to stop trusting my instincts? When am I gonna learn? When am I gonna learn to stop listening to what my heart thinks? To what my heart thinks. When am I gonna learn? When am I gonna learn to stop trusting my instincts?
always get into trouble when I listen to what my heart thinks. You always think you know better. You always think you know better till you're sure that you don't. Till you're sure that you don't. I know life's not about. I know life's not about. I know life's not about figuring it out. But it'd be nice sometime. It'd be so nice sometime to feel like I got a grip on mine. Yeah, it'd be nice sometime. It'd be so nice sometime to feel like I got a grip on mine.
Thanks.
That was good. He's a talented man. He was using his art to make the world a better place. Oh, God. I am so glad all of you are here. This is going to be great. I'm very, very, very excited to bring up our stand-up comic of the show. He's a very funny man, and he wrote a very funny nightmare gig that I would like to talk about after his set. But before he does that, he's going to perform funnies for you for roughly 8 minutes. Give him your ears, give him your eyes. Please put your hands together for the very funny Mr. D. Ahmed, everybody. D.
How y'all doing this evening? It's nice to be here. You, me, them, everybody. So I wanted to talk to you guys about some stuff. First off, I'm East African. Let's get that out of the way right off the bat. Apparently, I don't give off that vibe. I didn't know that. Like, I have a roommate I've been living with for several years. He came up to me and he's like, D, you're Indian. What do you think about this whole Redskins name? I was like, first off, man, I don't think that's the right type of Indian. Second, I'm neither of those types of Indian. How do you work for the Pentagon, bro? That's my roommate, and he's sitting right there, by the way. I wanted to talk to you guys about some other stuff, though. Like, I feel vulnerable, lately. I like all you guys. I feel like we're in a good place. I want to talk about some stuff that's been going on with my world. I've been getting bullied by old black dudes a lot lately, and I don't know why. Like, I had one come up to me, first thing he said, I was at the barbershop, I was getting a haircut, felt like it looked good. Nope, not to him. He was just like, you look like you're trying to pull off a look that of a guy like that should be able to sing. But you can't sing. I don't know how to receive that. It got worse. I was on the metro the other day. I was just getting on, going to work. Guy looks at me, first thing he says, look at me. Look at me. I'm the captain now. That's a Somali piracy reference. Were you listening? Yeah, I'm from Somalia. You know, the dangerous part of Africa. It's dope. I enjoy it. It's pretty interesting. I've been kind of just, I mean, it's weird. Getting bullied by old black dudes is a little uncomfortable. It kind of hit this, like, peak for me. One of them decided to dish out, like, some life advice. Wasn't expecting it. First thing he says, hey, you should work on your height. The fuck does that mean? I'm sorry. I've been, like, holding myself back by being shorter than you. That was my dad that said that. He was mean. He's mean. Oh, my dad's an interesting dude. He's pretty intimidating, guys, because of his voice. Sounds like a pissed-off Mufasa. Imagine that guy trying to read you a bedtime story as a child. Like, Mary had a little lamb.
Mary had little lambs. And their faces were white. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go because he respected his mother and father. Why are you crying now, son?
It's crazy. Now I'm fucking scared of lambs. And maybe white people? I don't know. Oh, my parents don't drink. I drink. I've been working. Okay. I've recently become much more attractive to ladies. Because now I work at a wine bar. Now let me explain. Wine bar is a dope. Thank you for that laugh. Now, wine bar is a dope side gig. I think it's awesome. Only downside to it is all these like pretentious people asking me to like describe wine to them. It's silly. I mean, wine's subjective. You're supposed to just try some wine, make a decision, and then go with it. You don't need like a taco expert to tell you about tacos. You just eat some tacos. Be decisive. Now I'm like some sort of Somalian sommelier, and I don't like it. So I've come up with a trick. Everyone can do this. All you have to do to sound smart when you're talking about wine is you think about a word, adjective really, that you would use to describe Fox News, and then throw on some organic shit after. For example, it's like, oh, you're interested in this Sauvignon Blanc? Yeah, I think you'd like it. I mean, there's subtle earthy tones, it's a little smoky, and it's extremely conservative. A little overbearing, maybe misguided, but yeah, this bouquet, oh my God. There's subtle hints of apricot. And it's almost misguiding and kind of mind-boggling that it still exists. And it's white. It's really white. Like, yo, bro, that sounds like a really racist wine. Yeah, it's racist. Yeah, it's racist as shit. Now I'm trying to, like, branch out from the wine thing. I've been dealing with, like not a breakup. We broke up, like, 8 months ago. Or, like, a year and a half ago. Well, like, 2 years ago. And I've been stalking her a lot lately. Why'd you look at me like that, by the way? As soon as I said stalking her, you were just like, fuck yeah. No, I've been stalking my ex-girlfriend a lot lately, in the socially acceptable way, on Facebook. I'm not real creepy, like 2015 creepy. And I've been going through pictures. You go through enough pictures, you start to realize they've changed things about their lives. Like one, she has a new boyfriend now. Now, I shouldn't care at all. It turns out he's a little person. Now, guys, I felt it right there. Y'all tightened up a little bit. Look, I'm not here to make jokes about little people, no matter how funny it would be to imagine this guy, like, helicoptering in front of my ex-girlfriend. I'm not going to make that joke, even though I just did. Moving on. What I'm trying to say is I was going to see her again, so I had to be cool, confident. And I wanted to look her in the face and say, hey, it seems like you're doing well. I'm happy for you. But what came out was, hey, it seems like you're doing okay, but, like, how big is this guy's dick? Yeah, I didn't want to ask that question, but it happened. There's a couple guys here. They're not laughing because they're thinking to themselves, seriously, bro, how big's the dick? Well, fellas, she replied with something I wasn't expecting. She was just like,
well, D, his dwarfism only affects his bones. He has a normal-sized penis for a guy even your height.
Do the math, guys. That means this dude is like 27% dick. That's amazing. I'm happy for her. That makes that whole joke about him helicoptering in front of her way funnier. What happens? Does he, like, fly away or something? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. So, famous people, let's talk about them. I don't do segues very well. I'm learning about it. I don't like famous people anymore. Not at all. Not because they're more successful than me or anything. It's just because there's this constant comparison that always happens. Everyone wants to say, hey, you look like someone from a movie. And it's always an insult. Like, for example, if someone comes up to you, man, and they're like, yo, bro, you're giving off a real 22 Jump Street vibe. You want that to be Channing Tatum. But it's never Channing Tatum. It's always fucking Jonah Hill. Or someone comes up to you, man, and they're like, yo, bro, you're giving off a real Wolf of Wall Street vibe. Leo DiCaprio, right? Nah, it's still Jonah Hill. Man, fuck Jonah Hill. I've tried to tailor this joke for black people, by the way, it never works. I come up to a black dude and be like, yo, man, you look like one of the guys from the movie Bad Boys. Will Smith, right? But then it's Martin Lawrence, and he's looking at me, he's like, I'm cool with that. Black people don't have a Jonah Hill, D. Is it Anthony Anderson? I guess it's not even a joke. I mean, I notice a black... This is between me and the black people in the room. Like, is it Anthony Anderson? Because I feel like it would be. Or Keenan or something. Okay, cool. So, it's kind of reached this peak of crazy for me. After a show one time, it happened to me. I was hanging out at the bar. Dude man came up to me, real drunk, kind of ignorant. And he's just like, yo, bro, you look like one of those in the movie Captain Phillips. Yeah, that's a movie about Somali piracy. Were you listening? I'm from Somalia. I mean, you know what that's like for me to go my entire life not knowing that I look like Tom Hanks? Oh my God, it was amazing! That guy, he wanted to say some extra stuff. He's like, no, I think you look. It's like, I know who Tom Hanks is! And I walked away. Thank you guys very much. Y'all stay black, all right? Peace.
DMN, everybody! Bring the mic back. Give it to that. Baby Briber is going to play a song about Somali pirates. And then we're all going to chat. Is that okay?
Sounds great.
Fantastic. You got that classic pirate song that you've been working on?
Yeah, this is a song by a Somalian pirate.
Perfect.
This is a song by the world famous Somalian pirate Drake. You used to call me on my cell phone. Used to call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city, you got a reputation for yourself now. Everybody knows and I feel left out. Girl, you got me down, you got me stressed out. Ever since I left the city, you started wearing less and going out more. Glasses of champagne out on the dance floor, hanging with some girls I'd never seen before. Used to call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. Yeah, I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. Cause ever since I left the city, you and me
just don't get along. You make me feel like I've done you wrong. You're hanging out in places where you don't belong. Ever since I left the city, you got exactly what you asked for. Running out of pages on your passport. Hanging with some dude I've never seen before. He used to call me on my cell phone.
Baby Bri Bri.
Could you give me a whiskey club soda with a lime?
Oh, a vodka soda with cranberry.
Thank you, Norm.
Thank you,
Norm.
Love you.
I appreciate it.
We're doing this because you're an immigrant. Baby Bri Bri just covered Drake in the style of that dude from Twin Peaks. You're never not wooing a girl. You're always fucking, aren't you? You're just like nonstop fucking all the time. You're the most attractive man that's ever existed. You're JTT all grown up.
All grown up, baby.
I'm so in love right now. Between the sad song and now Hotline Bling, like, I don't know if I can sit next to you right now.
That's why I put this space between
us. I know.
Just for the safety of the show.
And then it's not like we're
video for the yet. People listening at home, he's got almost enough hair to have a sweep over his right eye, so
I
it's even
braided.
Oh my god,
oh
right?
Oh my god, I want to braid it and smell it.
Jesus
him.
Christ.
I need
full
him to
sweep,
go away.
Baby.
You're
full
not
sweep.
Even on are you even on Tinder or do women just like show
Tinder.
Up at your doorstep?
I feel like DC's a small enough place that I'll run into these people eventually.
What the fuck? How are you doing this? You're so amazing. Why are you doing comedy? What's wrong with you? Pick up a fucking guitar.
Yeah,
and be like this.
Tinder, that's what I'm trying to ask, please, for my sake. That's what
Jesus Christ, you're a talented, attractive man.
And he just sipped that like drink, like, all right, whatever.
I know.
Move on with your life.
Oh, Tinder.
Is it just straight whiskey too?
No, this is gin.
That's even better. That's even better. You found the one drink that's more pretentious and douchey. That's good for you.
Well,
God
actually,
damn it.
The most pretentious drink I've still been waiting to try. I was depressed earlier this year, and I watched a lot of Frasier.
Whoa, stop. You're saying that you play sad songs of Drake, and you're a little sad? You've now become even more attractive. I don't know if you knew that was possible. Fuck you. You're poor as shit.
Let's see if that this adds to it or takes away from the attractiveness. Real big fan of Frasier.
You know your target demo. You know exactly. Frasier's a horrible show. Don't ever watch it. You know your target demo. I'll go down with that ship. I'll stand by that statement. Frasier's a horrible show.
It's
Here's
not.
Why.
It's a
Shut
show.
The fuck up, my show. Here's why.
Oh my god.
Frasier is trying to be high art, and it's making fun of things that are low art. But it's a fucking sitcom. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't watch it for the humor. If you binge
Fuck
watch
you.
It,
Fuck you.
No.
That is the most perfect thing you could have said. I like you so much, and I hate you at the exact same time.
If you watch it as a binge experience, you start to realize that it's a show all about depression, self-loathing, identity crisis.
No, it's not.
Lack
Shut
of
up. No,
love.
It's not.
Oh,
Shut
it's
up.
Horribly
it's
depressing.
Not, it's not a show.
There's
about
a
that.
Great line where he says,
it's about scrambled eggs.
No, that's the theme
and
song.
And that little dog.
He says, just because I'm alone doesn't mean I'm lonely. And he starts to laugh sadly. And that's
And you
scene.
Think that that's the first time that line's ever been written. And
well,
that's why you think it's deep.
Yeah. No, who else has
like,
written that song?
This is why I don't usually interview musicians, because you had so much goodwill until you brought
wait,
up
wait,
Frasier.
Wait. Time out. Who said that before the Frasier? Who said it before Dr. Crane?
This conversation blows.
Yeah, what's Frasier?
What is Frasier?
It's a show that stars the guy who executive produced the series Girlfriends.
He did on BET.
Really?
Kelsey Grammer. Yeah. He's also a horrible conservative asshole.
Yeah.
But,
didn't he just say some shit about like abortion and?
Yeah, he wore
like,
a shirt that said, "If we did it with guns, would the liberals care?" Whatever. Meaning, like, if they just shot the baby, would then a liberal care about the
that
life?
That's such
at stake.
A white man thing to do.
Oh, he's an incredibly white man.
he is such a white man. Yo.
We could talk all night about Kelsey Grammer if you want to keep going.
I kind of do.
I wanted to know what the drink was.
The drink? Oh, sherry. But the point was, is.
You're right. It's totally sherry. You're 100% right. You're really.
I just wanted to know what it was.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
I was like,
sherry.
What drink is it? Sherry. Okay.
Fuck, you're right.
I was listening to him, everybody.
Thank you, Allison. Thank you.
I
got so excited about Frasier.
Dee, welcome to the show.
Hi.
What's going on?
No, Lee, don't put the mic stand, but just hold the mic.
I'm just going to keep going until I need
to. No.
See,
here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Oh,
D,
God.
You're very funny.
Thank you.
Sorry I'm touching this. Incredibly rude.
No,
you're
no,
very
no.
funny. I'm so sorry. You're one of multiple comics that I've had on the show that I thought you had already been on the show. You've only done warm-up for the show. I'm
I've
so sorry about
that. I've only done warm-up once, yeah. And I've been at the show getting drunk in the back probably like 16 times.
That's awesome. That's how to do it. So I'm assuming most of the people in the room haven't read the Nightmare Gig, so let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Nightmare Gig is the series that we do at Bryce Young Things, and I started it because I found out that one of my favorite things to do is learn about adversity and overcoming it, but in a non-like Oprah-y way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
No offense to Oprah, obviously. But
she's queen.
A lot of comics have horrible, horrible, horrible show stories. Same with musicians, but they're not nearly as articulate. That's why we mostly do comics. Yours involved the great state of Florida.
Yes, it did. It was a fascinating time. It was a couple months ago, not too long ago.
That was recent?
Yeah, last summer, July.
That's like in 2015?
Yeah.
That's way too recent.
That was, I mean, like, of course, when you're talking to, like, new comics, you think about, like, your nightmare gigs. All of them are kind of nightmares because you're trying to get better and everything doesn't work out for you. But that one stood head and shoulders above the rest.
Let's get rid of the basics quick. It was you. You were in an open mic. It was in the great state of Florida. What city?
Kimsey, I think, is the name. It's right outside of Orlando.
Okay, so a suburb of Orlando.
Yeah.
And it was an open mic?
Yes.
It was in a bar or a comedy club?
It was in a bar.
And did they have televisions on?
Yes, but they turned them off. Everything was very much focused on the actual comedy.
So there
show.
Was a stage?
Yes.
Okay, and you were going to go up third?
Yes.
Okay. Two comics went up before you?
Yeah, and no one was paying attention. It was basically like the host was definitely the center of attention, so much so that comics going after him just faded into the background.
Okay.
It was bad.
Now, what happened while the first two comics were going up?
First two comics go up, and essentially the host of the show, which I call him Cheesy Vinny in the like story that I end up like writing, Cheesy Vinny basically goes on the stage, he introduces the comic, maybe does a couple of jokes, and he's kind of funny, like he's doing well, and then after he gets done introducing the comic comes on stage, he walks directly to the back of the bar, and he starts talking with his friends, and they're loud as shit.
Okay. Now, you were going third.
Yes.
And between second and third, there was an altercation.
Yes. It was basically, he was trying to walk back up to the stage to introduce, like, me. And I was standing there thinking, like, okay, he's going to come up to me, tap me on the shoulder, say you're going, and then I would go up and do my thing. But what ends up happening is while he's trying to walk back, some guy, who I think was one of his friends, grabs his shoulder, like his shirt, and he turns around and doesn't swing at him. He spits in his face. Oh, yeah. Very aggressive.
And at this point, you think the show's over?
Yeah. I'm like, okay, you just got in an altercation with a crowd member, as far as I could tell. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is a dead show. They're going to like put the kibosh on this, and I'm going to have to just go back to Orlando to my hotel and go to sleep and be bummed that I couldn't get on.
What happens next?
What happens next is he kind of gets in a tussle, and he's kind of like hitting each other on their backs, essentially, like kind of like man babies burping each other. And I was just like, oh, God, what the fuck? This is awful. And then he just starts walking away, and there's a huge sea of people like that are kind of all surrounding this fight happening. And I'm in the back thinking it's done. And then out of nowhere, he emerges like a fucking coked out Terminator, and I was just like, holy shit, he's coming straight to me. And I was just very confused, and then he was basically going to just say, hey, what's your name again? You're up next. And I was just like, you just spat in a dude's face. Why are you still talking to me? This is weird.
And you ended up going up.
Yes.
You did about 30 seconds of material, and then what happens?
And no one was listening to my 30 seconds of material, and I basically look back, and I realize they have just started round two of this fight, and it just gets way more intense, and no one's listening to anything I'm saying. But I was stoked because I was standing on stage, and I had this great vantage point, and that was the best part. It was just a lot of flailing, a lot of pale dudes just being pissed, and it was very weird. And then out of nowhere, one of the other guys, like his opponent, I guess, he headbutts Cheesy Vinny.
but not in the way you would imagine. Like in movies, when a guy headbutts another guy, the guy drops like a sack of potatoes. This didn't happen. He headbutts Cheesy Vinny, and they both kind of crumble, and they both like just are holding their heads like knee on the ground. Oh my God. And then they just retreat to their sides of the bar. Their friends split off. And I was just standing there. I was just like, this is funnier than anything I could have said on stage. And that was the biggest laughter I got, exactly like this.
And then you get off stage, and what happened?
Okay, so what happens is I start laughing because the bartender starts throwing these two out. They have concussions. No way around it. And they're outside. Their friends have slowly gone outside and funneled out and closed out their tabs. I'm just standing there with the bartender, and I'm just like, what? Is this normal? And he's like, oh, yeah, like once a month or something. Like that was not a big deal to bring up before I got there.
Before you did any, before you went up, before the first fight happened, he asked you a question.
Yes.
What was that question?
I believe the question related to whether or not I had cocaine.
Okay, now, when you left the establishment, you thought that one of two things happened.
Yes. Okay, so he asked me if I had cocaine. This is immediately after I meet the guy. This is probably in the first 5 minutes, less than 20 easily. He's just like, hey, bruh, do you got, like, you got that white girl? Like, you got any? Like, for real, do you got any? I don't have any more. And I'm kind of weirded out by that, and I'm just like, no, I just want to do stand-up. Fast forward to the end of the night.
Really quick, though, for any stand-up listening to the show, bring cocaine. You'll get way better gigs.
Oh, yeah, you'll get way better spots.
That's an industry secret.
Well, yeah, towards, I guess, the end, he starts basically addressing all of his friends in the parking lot after he gets thrown out. And he's just like, hey, everybody, I just want to let you all know I'm really sorry for taking advantage of your trust and love. I shouldn't have left. I really want to let you know that I really appreciate you guys being here. And it means so much to me. And I start thinking, there's only one of two things that happened. He either ran out of his fucking intervention to go to a comedy show to run that, which makes his commitment to comedy way more interesting. Or he stole all of his friends' cocaine and he came to a comedy show and was legitimately sad about it. Either way, the guy's a fucking nut job and I love him.
Do you know his name?
Yeah, his name's Eric. I'm friends with him on Facebook.
That's all so great.
I hope he doesn't figure this out.
Oh, it's so great. Are you really? Let's go to your actual material.
Yeah.
Are you actually stalking and keeping up with your ex?
Well, after a breakup happens, you just start going through the breakup tendencies of like looking him up on Facebook, keeping tabs. That's really it.
Okay, but so you're not actually stalking?
Well, not really. Like, I'm not in bushes, but on 2015 standards, yeah, I'm stalking.
I have an acquaintance that was once a friend that is a legitimate stalker, and he what? Why is that funny? He did have a restraining order against him, and he said the hottest thing he ever had was restraining order sex. So, not a joke. And that restraining order sex happened in the green room of a comedy club. Not joking.
Norm Corrington, do you have something to tell me after this show?
No. His name is Drew Michael. He's a New York City comic. And I could say that on mic because that's part of his material. It's on his album. It's not a secret in any way whatsoever.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Does your where do you work? I know you work at a wine bar, but
oh well, yeah, I work at a wine bar. That's my like side gig. Other than that, I actually have a 9-to-5.
No, I don't care about that. What's the name of the wine bar?
Wine bar is called Twisted Vines. It's on Columbia Pike in Arlington, Virginia.
Oh, that's why I don't know it. Okay. Has your boss ever called you the Somalian sommelier?
No, but I've definitely dropped that before.
Because I don't know if it'll be a great way for you to get a raise or a horrible way for you to never leave that job, because that's something that they could definitely bank on. Do your parents know you do stand-up?
Yes. Surprisingly enough, my dad actually did stand-up back in the 80s.
Where?
All over D.C., surprisingly, as well as Somalia.
What? Typical. Typical.
Yeah.
So what language?
Well, it was mostly in Somali. There's actually a very big Somali population in D.C. as well as Minnesota. I know. Minnesota.
Minnesota?
Yeah, he said Minnesota.
Make any sense.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just cold. Why? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Have you performed in Somalia?
No. It started only like about a year and a half ago, or maybe a little bit less. But after about, I guess, a month of doing stand-up, my sister told me my dad did stand-up too. And I thought he was just speaking at like rallies, like advocating for like Somali, like democratic, like sort of votes and whatnot. That's not the case. He was just telling dick jokes.
Has he seen you perform?
No, he wants to, but he also likes giving me like fucking joke advice, and it's weird.
What's his joke advice?
Oh man, it's like mostly in Somali, and none of it actually translates. He's just like, "Hey, there's something that you are missing, and I think I could help you." And I'm like, "No, bro, like."
What voice is that you just did? That's a famous comedian.
Maybe Aziz Ansari.
Yeah, it was exactly Aziz. You did it. Your dad is Aziz Ansari. That's
yeah,
fantastic.
That's exactly how it happened.
Oh my gosh. Oh my. How old are you?
I'm 28.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm a baby.
Hi, baby.
How you doing?
Hi, other baby.
Now quit looking at him. Forget him.
I'm in a sad sandwich. I love it.
I'm not sad. I'm the confident, enjoying like your island and everything.
You just have a sad presence.
Oh yes, you do too. You're really brooding over there, by the way.
Yeah, this is all stage. This is all part of the plan.
Stage presence, yeah, everything to a nine. Fantastic.
Looking at my notes, I got nothing left for you.
Oh yeah. I don't know.
None of this makes any sense.
Every time I hear Allison's Tinder notification go off, yeah. I just get a little more sad.
I don't know if this has been picked up on Mike.
He's driving it in.
Is it what, every 3 to 4 minutes it's been going off?
Oh, yeah.
At least. Oh, yeah.
For the last hour. I have. She hasn't checked it once, so there's a lot of fellas. Here's the thing. If you're ever in the D.C. area and we're doing this show and you find Allison on Tinder, she's holding a poster for the show. So there's probably like 30 dudes that are just like, where is this place? I want to fuck.
It's just round one of the like speed dating process.
Can I tell you a small story real quick about Tinder?
Yes, please.
So last month I was on Tinder at work and there was this guy. He was like, "Man, like I'm traveling across the country. We should go have a drink at the W." Long story short, I end up going on a Tinder date with 4 men.
At the same damn time.
Stop. One person gasped in the room, and 3 attractive females clapped. They get it. Hell yeah.
So I was like, whatever, I'm just going to go with it. They're all like, you know, European, whatever. So like, we're at the W, and they're like, we want to drink cheap American beers.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So what do? I take them to my job, of course, which is a bar. So I walk in, and my boss looks, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm just like, dating, and just walk by, and like 4 dudes follow me to the bar. 4 dudes follow me to the bar. That's about it, because I only made out with one of them, and that was it.
He was
the saddest one.
Are we going to have a...
you? Was this you?
Are we going to have a sad-off on stage right now to see
Who's sadder? Who can cry first?
Well, all right.
Okay. Work on a D. About... Oh, my God. Dead puppies. Baby Bri-Bri is too cool for this. Like,
I have no feelings about dead puppies.
I'm trying to think of my dream job.
This
might be my dream job.
What?
Being the host of a dating show, but they're all just trying to date you. And I just make men do things.
And they're all just horribly
to qualify for your love. And you don't even have to date them, obviously.
Yeah,
you're just on Tinder the entire time on stage.
Like, yeah. Whatever.
Whatever.
You just vote no.
This is the best.
Yeah.
Could we do a show where it's just live Tinder where I just have 60 dudes trying to date you at once?
I keep trying to make that happen. It's just not working.
Well, you haven't answered your phone. It's been plugged in for the last hour.
Yeah. Do you want to take my phone and you do Tinder and I'll do Tinder on your phone?
I don't know about that. I don't know if I trust you.
Perfect
like
answer. Perfect answer. God, went off. You guys can't hear this.
We need
God
a microphone for the phone.
Oh, we should have mic'd the phone. God damn it.
Next time.
So this has been a fun show.
Yeah,
it's a good time.
Right.
You guys are fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, for one last time, please put your hands together for Baby Bri-Bri.
Well, I've been thinking about the way we used to be. The way you used to smile at me when I think it's great that we made amends.
think it's great we tried to be friends, but I just miss the way things was when we were in love. 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 Yeah, I know that times have changed, and I know things ain't the same. But I just miss the way things was when we were in love. Well, I've been thinking about the things we used to say. Thinking about the things we used to say. And I've been thinking, oof, about all the things that stood in our way. The things that stood in our way. Yeah, I think it's great that we made amends. I think it's great we tried to be friends. But I just miss the way things was when we were in love. Everybody, when we were in love. When we were in love. It's easy. When we were in love. Just Brandon.
Yep.
When we were in love. I know that times have changed. And I know things ain't the same. But I just miss the way things.